All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to Mark chapter 10. We're going to finish up the chapter tonight, Lord willing. We're going to start in verse 46. I'm going to do it a little bit different tonight. I've preached from this passage before, and as I studied the past couple of weeks, because I thought we were going to get to these verses last week, as I studied the last couple of weeks, what struck me is the wonderful lesson that's in these verses about prayer. And so tonight we're going to read the whole passage, and then I'm going to make just a couple comments, and then I'm going to talk to you about prayer tonight. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What will that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now, I just want to mention a couple of things before I get to my main lesson. In the book of Mark and Matthew, as they record this event, it says Jesus and his disciples were coming out of Jericho. In the book of Luke, it says as they were going into Jericho. And I always like to look for things like this, and because I know people that look for errors in the Bible, they key in on things like this and say, well, how can it be both ways? Well, and if you study, you understand that it can be both ways, because in that day and age, there were two Jerichos. There was the old city of Jericho, and then the Roman governor. Hey, Brother Leonard, looks like we got some people walking around out there. Maybe you could help them. The Roman governor built a new city of Jericho. And so they were leaving the old city of Jericho, and they were coming in to the new city of Jericho. Now, there's another thing that some people might say, well, there's a discrepancy. In two of the Gospels, it mentions one beggar, blind beggar, and the other one, it mentions two. And again, people say, well, how can it be both ways? And I would just remind you that all the Gospels were inspired by God, but they were written from a different perspective. And we've done the same thing. I mean, I had an example, and it just slipped my mind right now, but somebody was telling me something on Sunday, how they just walked right past somebody and didn't notice them, and they had to be that person grabbed them by the arm and pulled them back and said, "Hey, I wanted to say hello to you." And the person that walked right by him, you know, said, "Well, I had something else on my mind, and I didn't mean to ignore you." And the same thing could be here too. Two of the Gospels, I mean, they noticed blind, or two of the Gospel writers, what the Holy Spirit inspired them, say, "Hey, talk about the one blind beggar, Bartimaeus." The Holy Spirit said the other, "Well, there was two there." I mean, there was two there, but the Holy Spirit says, talk about this one, the two of them, the other one, he says, talk about one. And you've noticed, you've been in a crowd of people, noticed somebody and didn't notice somebody else. And so, again, our predisposition as we read the Bible ought to say it's a perfect book. There is no errors. Those that have the predisposition, well, there's errors, they're going to find what they think is a discrepancy between the Bible. But there ain't no discrepancies. Not good English, but good preaching. There ain't no discrepancies. This book was written by God. There is no mistakes. If you go into it looking for apparent discrepancies, you're going to find them. But if you don't study and dig deep and understand how it was written and who wrote it, it's not going to be as meaningful and as real to you as it should be, God's book. Now, the other thing I want to mention to you is that this place where Jesus was going through was a very fertile area. It was low. We talked about last week him going up to Jerusalem. It was very low. There was a lot of rich land there, and it was a very rich agricultural place. It was also cooler than Jerusalem. And so many people had their summer homes in this place, and it was a very affluent place. And so you could understand why a blind beggar would be along the highway. Hey, if I was going to be begging, I wouldn't want to beg where all the poor people go. I'd want to beg where the rich people pass by. And that's what blind Bartimaeus was doing. He was there begging, asking for alms. Now, so with those just points one more, I'm sorry. In verse 51, where Jesus asked him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That word "receive," if you dig deep into the Greek of it, it means get back what I had at one time. So this man was not born blind. He was born seeing. Somehow he lost his sight. And so he asked Jesus, "I want that back what I had. I want what I lost. I want my sight back." Okay, so with those few points of introduction, let me talk to you about prayer tonight. You know, prayer is a wonderful thing that God has given us. I mean, when you stop and think that we have been invited to come to God Himself and make our requests and our thanksgivings and our requests known to Him, it's just amazing that God would give us that privilege. And so often we don't take advantage of the privileges that God gives us. I mean, He lays them out all before us. I mentioned it before. I can never understand people that refuse salvation. I can never understand when they get a clear presentation of the gospel and they hear about the love that God has for them and the price that He paid for their salvation. I just can't understand how anybody can turn their back on that and walk away from it. Just like I can't understand when we go to Old Country Buffet and people don't eat dessert, Brother Harold. I just can't understand that. I mean, it's all laid out there in front of us, and it's so good. Why would anybody turn away from it? And sometimes we as Christians do that same thing. God lays out for us a multitude of blessings, a multitude of opportunities, and we turn our back and we don't take advantage of them. We don't enjoy them. We don't use them the way that God wants us to. And so often the case that's the case when it comes to prayer. As I mentioned before, yeah, when we get sick or when we realize, when God smacks us up beside the head and helps us to realize that we have a need, we're quick to pray. But those times when things are going pretty good and we're living on the mountaintop, so to speak, and, you know, everything's working and we're getting along with everybody, sometimes we forget that we need God and we forget to pray. That's why there's verses in the Bible, "You have not because you ask not." So tonight I want to make 7 quick points about from this story about prayer. First of all, I want you to understand and realize that Bartimaeus knew that he had a need. He was blind. He could not see. As a result of him not being able to see, he could not work. Now again, if the Greek implies that at one time he had sight. At one time he could see. At one time he could live a normal life. But for some reason, through some series of circumstances, perhaps an illness, perhaps an accident, I don't know, he lost his sight. And he knew that he needed something. Now, as I mentioned in our testimony time, every single one of us need God every single day. If God didn't think about us, if God didn't pay attention to us, we could not exist a moment. There's a verse in Colossians that talks about God. It says, "By Him all things consist." In other words, He not only created everything, He holds it all together. And you just let God quit thinking about me or quit thinking about you for a second, and we'd be gone. He keeps us in his thoughts and keeps us alive and gives us what we need every single day, whether we realize it or not. And for us to pray the way that we should pray, for us to take advantage of the blessing that God gives us called prayer, we need to get into our head that there is not a moment of any day that we don't need God. Now, again, he reminds us of that in certain situations. I mean, when we get sick and when we have an ongoing illness, when we're like Brother Al and Phyllis and others in our church that are fighting cancer. I mean, they don't need to be reminded that they have a need. They don't need to be reminded that they need God. For those of you that have other trials and heartaches in your life, you get up every morning knowing that you need God. Knowing that you can't exist, can't make it through the day without him. And my first point is tonight, every single one of us ought to have that attitude. God should not have to send sickness. He should not have to send trouble into our life. We should know that every single moment of every single day, we need him. We have a need. Just like Bartimaeus, he had a need. He was blind. He could not see. It kept him from doing what he wanted to do. It kept him from working. All right? Number two, he wanted to get that need met. It's one thing to recognize a need. It's another thing to say, I don't want to stay like this. I want God to do something. I mean, he didn't want to stay blind. He knew what it was to have sight. He knew what it was to have a job. He knew what it was not to beg. And he says, I'm not going to be satisfied staying the way that I am. And isn't that what drives us to prayer? Is not only realizing that we have a need, but wanting God to do something to meet that need? I mean, if we just sit back and say, well, I've got this problem in my life, but I'll just live with it. I'll just live with it. Now, why should a child of God do that? You say, Brother Darrell, are you saying that if we pray to God, he'll take every one of our problems away? No, I'm not saying that. But he'll take some of them away. He knows what's best. And those things he doesn't take away, even though we may not understand it now, he knows that we need them in our life to keep us close to him. But there are other things in our life that if we ask him, he said, I'll be glad to do that. And so many times we put up with things and we're satisfied with things and we don't go to God with our needs. Maybe sometimes saying, well, this is such a small thing that why should I bother God with it? Did you know there's no small things with God? There's no problem. I know sometimes I've had people tell me, well, we didn't want to call you about that, preacher, because we know you're so busy and we didn't want to. And I don't yell at them, but I want you to tell me. I want to know. I want, if I can't do anything else, at least I can pray for you. And God feels the same way. I mean, you know, when my kids were little, I wanted them to share things with me. Now they're older, I want them to keep them all to themselves. But I still want them to share. I still want to be able to help when I can. And if we feel that way, in the limited amount of love that we have for one another, limited compared to God. Remember he said, hey, if you don't hate your parents or your children, you can't be my disciple. He wasn't talking about hating them. He was just saying the love you ought to have for me ought to outweigh so much the love that you have for them. It looks like hate. And the love that we have for one another compared to the love that God has for us, it's not comparable. And if we, in our limited love for each other, want to know and want to be involved and want to help, don't you think God does? There is nothing too small to bring to him. And so here was Bartimaeus. He had a need. He wanted that need met. Number three, he knew that Jesus could help. There was no doubt in his mind that Jesus could help. I mean, sometimes we don't go to other people because we don't think they can do anything about it to help our problem. I mean, we should still go because they can pray for us. But here was Bartimaeus. Perhaps he'd gone to doctors. Perhaps, I don't know what if they had eye surgery or eye salve back then. Perhaps he'd tried the different remedies that they had. None of them worked. But he knew when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by that Jesus could help him. Perhaps he'd heard about the man that had been lame from birth for 38 years that Jesus took by the hand and said, "Rise up and walk." Perhaps he'd heard about other blind people that he healed. Perhaps he'd already heard about the dead that he's raised back to life. And Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him. Number four, he didn't let anybody stop him from asking. Here was Jesus passing by, a big crowd of people, the Bible says. Perhaps he was doing as he did on other occasions. He was teaching the group of people. And Bartimaeus sitting there by the side, begging for alms. Alms for a poor beggar. Alms for a blind man. Asking just for people to make a contribution to help him with his livelihood. Here's another crowd comes by. Another crowd coming by. And I'm sure he thought to himself, well, maybe there'll be some people that will help me. And as he listens, there's nothing wrong with his ears. As he listens, he hears people talking about Jesus. And when he hears them talking about Jesus, he starts to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And if you, again, if you look at the Greek, he just didn't say it one time. He said it over and over and over and over. And the people that were around Jesus and the people that were there close to him said, "Shh, be quiet. Don't bother the master. He hasn't got time for a poor blind beggar. You're interrupting his teaching. You're interrupting what he's trying to get across to his disciples and to us. Just be quiet." And I can see old Bartimaeus, he said, no, not me. This is my one opportunity to get my need met. I am not going to be quiet. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep calling out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Be quiet. You're disrupting him. You're interrupting his teaching. And I think Bartimaeus, as they talked to him, got louder and louder and louder and louder. I wonder how many times we let other people stop us from praying for what we need. I wonder how many times somebody says something discouraging about prayer or maybe about God or about his concern for us. I wonder how many times somebody says, "Well, that's just a small little deal. God ain't interested in that." And we get to think, well, maybe he's not. Or we get to thinking, well, maybe he's got bigger things to take care of. I pray it again tonight. I pray it often. We cannot overwhelm God. We can overwhelm each other. I mean, if four or five of us wanted Terry to help us do something, if we all went to him at the same time, he says, "Hey, there's only one of me." But you know what? Not God. Every single Christian in the whole world could go to God at the same time, and he could take care of all of us. We cannot overwhelm him. We cannot exhaust his supply. And when somebody says something or makes a comment that perhaps may discourage you about praying, don't stop. You just remember what kind of God we have. You can't... I won't go into any details, but I've been helping a person with some stuff. And they're now reluctant to come to me to ask for anything else because they think I've done enough. And sometimes I think we might feel that way about God. Well, he's already done this, 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 and this for me. And I'll just tell you tonight, he's just getting started. He's just getting started. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is impossible, and I won't quote it right. I'm finding the older I get, Brother Duane, it's harder for me to remember the things I want to quote. It is impossible to please God without faith. And every time we go to God and make a request, we are exhibiting our faith. We are saying, God, I have this need. I know you can meet it. I know I can't overwhelm you. I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you. I'm going to exhibit my faith. That's how we please God. When we keep coming back and coming back. And like Al was talking about in his testimony, I just keep pestering God. I just keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. Now, we might not like that when somebody does that to us, but I tell you what, God loves it. He said, come on, just keep coming. Just keep asking. I love it. You're pleasing me when you do that. Just keep on. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep on coming. Because we cannot overwhelm him. He knew that Jesus could help him. He didn't let anybody stop him from calling on Jesus. Number five, when Jesus called, he came. See, all the people in the crowd said, Bartimaeus, just be quiet. Just shut up. You're bothering him. Jesus heard. He says, hey, tell that guy to come over here. And I like what the crowd says. He said, and they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. He said, hey, you might as well get, they said, get ready for a blessing. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. You might as well be happy. You got his attention. He stopped and he's calling for you. I've told a story before about that church out west. They were going through the community was going through a terrible time of drought. Everything, all their crops was dying. And so the church family got together and said, we're going to have a prayer meeting for rain. We're going to meet together. We're going to pray for rain. We're going to pray. We're going to just keep asking God, and we're not going to stop until it rains. And so the congregation gathers in the fellowship hall of the church, and the pastor comes in. He looks around. He said, we might as well go home. Might as well just go home. And one of the men spoke up and said, well, why? You called us to pray for rain. He said, yeah, I don't see one umbrella. I don't see one umbrella. I mean, if we're going to call to God, we're going to pray for rain. Where's your umbrella? Where's your faith? And when God, and so when Jesus said, hey, tell that guy to come over here, the crowd said, Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. And I like what Bartimaeus does. He gets up. And he cast away his garment. Now, I've read a couple different things. One person said, well, he just didn't want to, he wanted to get there quick, and he didn't want this garment getting in his way. That could be. But I think it was another way. This was an old, tattered robe or cloak that he had. It represented his poverty. It represented his being a beggar. And when Jesus said, hey, tell that guy to come over here, and he got up, he says, I ain't going to need this anymore. And he threw it out. You see, his faith took over and says, I know what Jesus is going to do. He's going to give my sight back. I ain't going to need this anything anymore, because I'm going to be able to see, I'm going to be able to go to work, and I'm going to be able to get me a new one. I don't need this anymore. And so he throws his cloak away, exhibiting his faith. And he, number six. And then number seven, he comes over to Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, what do you want? What do you want? Now again, remember, he's been praying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus calls him and says, okay, what do you want? And Bartimaeus says, Lord, I want to receive my sight. I want to see again. Here's point number seven. When you pray, be specific. Tell God exactly what you want. Say, well, I just want him to do something. Well, do you have anything in mind? Tell him. Now, I'd always put a footnote to that and say, like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not what I want, what you want. Here's what I'd like. I'd like to get my sight back, but Lord, I know you know best. So not what I want, what you want. But be specific. Ask him. I think that exhibits faith. When you go to God and say, hey, here's the need I have in my life. I believe you can need it, meet it. And here's what it is. And if that's not best for you, Jesus will say, he'll sort of say, hey, I may not give you what you want. I'll give you something better. I'll give you something better. And by the way, he knows what's better. He knows what's better. So, when you pray, just remember, oh, this blind man, this blind beggar, teaches us a lot of good stuff about prayer. Anybody have a question or a comment?